And I know lots of you folks. I've known you, like Dave Barkey, I've known since he was a teenager. And that's a long time ago, Dave. And I've known Dave and Karen Krause for a long time. Remember when you went to Palmerston and we got to know you, then you moved out west and we visited out there and in your home and stayed there. And well, I remember when I was district superintendent that every time I went to Stainer to look after things at the camp there, I always looked up Bert Daniels, and Bert would look after the ushers. And I traveled many, many, many miles and kilometers with Murray Bennett when I was part of the boards there. And well, it's just great to be here. Thank you, folks, for being so gracious and allowing the college to come. It's really a privilege to work at Emmanuel Bible College. Marie and I worked together. I was about ready to retire back 2 years ago, and Derek and Ryan Erb came to see me, Derek Mueller. And I thought they were coming to take me out to lunch to ask me for money. And we do that a lot. We have to. If you don't ask, you don't get. And they said, would you come to the school after you retire and would you work part-time for us? And we would like you to contact donors and just thank them. Would you do that mainly? And would you speak for the school and do other things? And I said, I will, under one condition, that my wife Marie comes and we can work together. We had been apart for 10 years in our work. When I was at Plattsville, she went to work for Gifts from the Heart, Matt and Frame Pictures, and I thought, I'm not going to retire and have us be apart some more. So they said, yeah, you can bring her along. Well, why not? She doesn't get paid. And she works too, so college isn't dumb. So we work together. But it's great to be with students there. It's great to help mentoring them, even though I'm not in the faculty, I'm in part of the staff. We still have students coming in the office. We pray with them, talk to them. I take teams out, things like that. And we have the privilege, as Marie has said, about to phone people, to thank them, and the privilege to ask them to consider, to ask you to consider Emmanuel Bible College. We have over 1,500 grads around the world in places that you've never heard and I've never heard of. We have people at home. We have graduates going straight into social services in Kitchener-Waterloo area. We have graduates that go into business. Learning how to become a leader and learning how to communicate is a great skill. Learning interpersonal relationships, psychology, etc., etc., is a great skill. EBC, for your young people, if they want to come to Emmanuel Bible College and then transfer credits to Laurier or Waterloo or whatever university, they can do that. A lot of our streams are transferable, and you can do that too. You can have a couple of prayer requests about where we're heading as a college. We really need a pastoral theology champion. We want churches to send their best young people, those who are destined for great things. We want them. We need leaders. We need pastors. We need missionaries. We need people who will be able to make their mark in society. Now, it's a great temptation in our day in which we live, where jobs are so plentiful, for students to come out of high school and maybe go into university stream as opposed to going into the Bible college stream. And the temptation is always, let's get making money fast and let's make lots of it. Now, we need people to do that. But if God has his hand on your heart, and he's speaking to you about, and maybe your second career person, speaking to you about a career in church leadership, in outreach, in church planting, in music, things like that, listen to God's call. We have a lot of older students at our school, and
In fact, for the Four Seas Congregational Churches, we have a year and a half program designed for second career people to go into ministry. So we would really covet your prayers in that area. And the second area is we're wanting to have a contemporary arts course and stream that maybe would be a two-year course that you could graduate and do all the technical stuff that these guys at the back so ably do, and music, and look after groups, look after choirs, look after bands, and could go and serve the church that way. We need that. At this point, we don't. We did have an arts course 10, 12 years ago. It was classical, more classical music, and that's not fitting into a lot of our churches today. And so we're endeavoring to be upfront, on the cutting edge, and whatever. We're proud of our grads. Emmanuel is more than 65 years old now, and started here, in this area, up in Stouffville and Gormley and then into Kitchener, and we've grown and grown and grown. We have probably 230 students each semester, almost 500 going through a year with our January term and our May term. You can come to school for a week and take a course. You can do it by distance, edge, etc. So there's another little blurb about the school. I'm high on Emmanuel. I believe EBC is worthy of donor support, worthy of our dollars, certainly of our prayers. And you as a congregation, I'm repeating a little bit what Marie said, but you help us greatly in the summertime, and we really appreciate that. We have to raise over $400,000 a year, and we have to ask largely. Derek and Ryan took a group of people out to lunch, a company, and asked them, and they were debating how much to ask them for. Derek said to Ryan, I'm going to ask them for $100,000 for the next, a year, for the next 3 years. And Ryan said, oh, that's too much. Don't do that. Just 50, just 20. Well, Derek, he's my neighbor in Plattsville, by the way, our president. He asked them for $100,000. They said, okay. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, praise the Lord. That's for capital. We're heading into a capital campaign soon. You'll hear about it. We have to have new classrooms. We have to have faculty classrooms. Our buildings are getting tired. We're refurbishing all the time, doing dorms and things like that. But we're going to build 10,000 square feet on the library to the east of it, towards Fergus Avenue, right out to the parking lot. That'll give us computer lounge. It'll give us four new classrooms. It'll give us all faculty, new faculty offices, things like that. And so we have been approved. It's been approved by the Board of Governors to have $1.5 million for that building. That's not a lot of money. And we're hoping by this next spring to have at least $400,000. And wills, bequeaths. Marie and I are just designing now a gift planning department in the school. And you'll see that soon, and I'm going to be phoning you and saying, can I come and talk to you? We want some of your estate money when you go to be with the Lord. Now, the church needs it, and missions need it, but EBC is a mission field. We need it too. I don't know why I'm saying all this. I've never done this in a church before. It must be because you have so much money. Or something. Anyways, it's great to be here, and I want to have us think together in the next half hour something that I, as I was reading through the book of John, I came to Peter's restoration. You know that he denied the Lord three times. And so when Peter and some other disciples, four or five others, have breakfast with Jesus on the beach after the resurrection, Jesus looked at Peter and asked him three times, do you love me? Peter finally was embarrassed. He said, well, Lord, you know everything. And then Jesus went on to share with Peter some very important future news. Because when we pick up the cross with Christ, there's a great cost. There's a great cost. And so Jesus shares with Peter how Peter's going to die. And then Peter turned around and saw John, the youngest disciple, walking towards him. He said, well, what about him? And Jesus said something astounding, and sometimes we say that to each other, and it's not very nice. And Jesus said to him, what's that to you? What's that to you? You follow me. And so I want to share this morning a theme that as I meditated on these poignant words that Jesus said to Peter right after he told him how he's going to die. Now that's a tough conversation. What's that to you? I want us to think together about moving from religion to relationship. From religion to relationship. Our society today thinks that life is all about them. It's all about me. TV, ads, etc. tell me that I am the big picture. I am the big picture. It all revolves around me, how I feel, how I come across. Everything's about me. And we don't go to church very, very long, or we don't come in contact with kingdom-type people very long until we begin to get a little different picture, that life is not all about me, that I'm not the big picture. I'm part of the big picture. God is the big picture, and I am the little picture. But oh, so important, God says, is the little picture. Because we're all important frisbees flying. That's a good illustration, you guys. Way to go. I didn't know what they were going to say this morning. And so society says life's all about you. I don't know about you, but I'm really tired of political stuff. I'm sick to death about dumb promises and, well, we're going to go into an election. That's just sickening. You know, the devil you know and the devil you don't know. Ah, I don't know about you, but I really am not looking forward to that. And I think it's going to take a lot of prayer by the Christians across Canada. I think sometimes we get what we deserve. God help us as a church to get on our faces and to pray. But life is not all about me. Even Christianity can lower itself into thinking that it's all about me. Some churches act that way. Churches act that way. It's not all about us. It's about those people who are out there who never come in here. It's about your neighbor who opens his garage door and drinks beer. I think we need to go and sit down with those people. Didn't Jesus say to go? But we think people should come? Isn't there a little bit turned around there? How many of you have neighbors on your prayer list? How many of us have had the privilege of going, like Jesus said, and proving that life isn't all about me. It's about my neighbor next door who's a neat guy who needs to know Jesus. My neighbor, we moved down the street in Plattsville and 5 years ago. We built a house with our oldest daughter, Elaine, and her husband, Craig. They used to live in this area, and they have one little girl, and he's with Youth for Christ, so we thought we could help him out, and so we built a house together. But the guy across the street, his name was Cecil, and he had just gotten married. They had both lost partners, and this was their second marriage. And we went out to talk to him, and the first time we talked to him, he shared with us that he had non-Hodgkin's melanoma, cancer. And at the end of the conversation, I said, Cecil, I really like to pray with you. He said, oh, okay. He said, I can use all the prayer I can get. So we prayed with him, and we started going back and forth, and we started to become friends. And winter came. We moved in the first November. Winter came. And that guy, he was head of roads in Kitchener.
A sharp guy, could do anything, right? Building and stuff like that. He had a snowblower. So it was snowy, he'd come across the street and he'd blow up my driveway. I said, oh, Cecil, thank you. He began to do that all over the community. He finally got a ride-on thing with a little blue light in the back, and he built a cab for himself, and he was still head of roads. And the Gaithers came down to the homecoming here in ACC. We rented a bus for the church, and we said, now, Cecil and Dorothy, we'd really like to take you to this concert. Well, what kind of music is it? Well, here's a video. I had one, and I said, this is the kind of music. And they brought it back and said, oh, we listen to these guys on TV sometimes. We like that. So we treated them and took them to the Gaither homecoming, and that was a number of years ago. Then we asked them to come to church, and they didn't. Then we asked them again, they did. And then we asked them to do Alpha, and they said no. And then we asked them again, they did. And lo and behold, they got saved. They became Christians, believers. And they've become a couple that's one of our best friends. They just moved away 2 weeks ago. Your neighbors are wonderful people. Do you pray? Do we pray for them? See, life is not all about me. It's all about God and how I fit into His plan as a frisbee. I want to fly, folks. I don't know about you. The older I get, the more I want to do. The older I get, the more I want to pray. The older I get, the more I want to hear the Lord. And so Christianity can become very, very much like our culture. We only want a church. We only want to do certain things. And the preacher can only preach a certain amount and about certain things. I was told by someone in church I was supposed to preach fluffy sermons. I said, well, man, don't I have to preach what God gave me to preach? Well, yeah, but, you know. And so we can get into rules and conformity and traditions that are just religion. It's just religion. And we need to really hear Jesus say to us again, what is that to you? You follow me. And so we want to look at this scripture very quickly and read it. Let's read it together. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? Peter wanted to order things. Peter wanted to order things. He wanted to know the future. Jesus said, it's not important. Right now, Peter, you follow me. What is Jesus saying to us this morning here? What's he saying to you? Peter wanted to order things. He wanted to be conformed. Well, if I'm going to do this, shouldn't he be with me? Religious conformity is very, very tempting. It's very tempting. But it's very controlling. And it shuts people out. It shuts people out. Are we doing that? Well, what does Jesus want to move us on to? Jesus moved things into relationship. Into relationship. He talked about the kingdom, the cost. The cost for Peter is this. And Peter, that's not your business about John. So you follow me. Forget about John. Your task today is to follow me. He wanted to move Peter into kingdom stuff. What is the kingdom currency that Jesus uses and expects us to use? What is it? Scripture makes it clear that death to self, then life in Jesus, is the currency for the cross life. Now, what on the earth does that mean? Now, the cross life, the cost of the currency of the cross life, is death to self. Death to what I want in deference to what God wants. Now, the thing there is we have to find out what God wants. What's God want of you today and tomorrow regarding your neighbors, regarding your money, regarding your time, regarding everything that you have? What does God want? Don't ever believe a minister who says, just come to Jesus and everything will be fine. Yes, I mean, the kingdom is great and whatever. But when you come to the Lord, it's not free. It costs you everything. It costs everything. It costs us our whole way of life. It costs us everything that we've got. The cross life, we need to identify with Christ. We're so shocked when we're put down and persecuted. The little bit of persecution that we have in Canada, we're shocked. Why would we be shocked if we identify with Jesus? He said, all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. That's what the Word says to us. And ours is pretty mild. But start to identify with Him and His name, and we find out what happens. So we identify with Christ. That's the cost of the currency. John 6, 35 through 58, I won't read it to you, but that's the whole area where Jesus begins to talk about the flesh and the blood. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't be a disciple. My goodness. What's it say about people who followed him right after he said that? Do you know? What'd they do? They quit. They said, boo, this is too much for us. We're out of here. We're not doing that. God wants us to understand that if we're going to be part of the kingdom and make a difference in the kingdom, there's a cost involved. And the cost is everything we have. Now, there's always a cancer to deal with. It's always. What's the cancer that cuts into the cost? The cancer says there's no cost. Just come to Jesus. It's free. It's not free. It isn't free. Another cancer is, all you have to do is just believe. Well, we have to do more than believe. The devils believe and they tremble. So we have to do more than believe. What do you have to do? You have to obey. So when God says, write out a check for $10,000, you do it. When God says, go across the street, bake muffins, and take them to that new neighbor, and introduce yourself, and get to know them. Have them in for dinner. When God says that, we do it. When God says, you need to take some sort of course so that you can be a better communicator, then you do it. When God says, phone them up and apologize, you're way out of line. You should not have talked that way. You do it. We do it. I remember sounding off when I was pastoring about something in my office. My secretary heard me. I wasn't yelling or anything. I was just complaining. I was driving home. The Lord said to me driving home, you phone her up and apologize. And so I did. I said, Florence, I was way out of line. I should not have done that. Would you please forgive me? She said, oh, yeah, I will. But folks, if we cover up and cover up and push under the rug and push it under the rug, our relationships are not good. We push them under the rug. You know, you soon have a bump so big that you're tripping over it. And then you can't talk, and you don't talk, and we don't talk. Church squabbles, family squabbles happen when things are like that. We live with our daughter and son-in-law. You know, things build up. They got a stupid dog. I like to make a nice lawn. You get the point, don't you? And so Craig came down the other day, and Marie and I were there, and he fixed something for us, and we got talking. It was a very redemptive talk. It was great. We said to him, this is so wonderful. It's good. In fact, what did the psalmist say? It's like the oil that's poured down over Aaron, over his beard. It's like the dew from Hermon when you clear the air and talk openly and you have fellowship and you say you're sorry, you get understandings done, and you start to communicate. There's got to, in a crowd this size, there has to be a lot of people who, some of you aren't talking to some other people, not because you don't want to, but because we've just let things pile up. And that happens, doesn't it? It does. Or husband or wife. Well, I preached one of our churches, and I talked to a couple after. They hadn't slept together for 20 years. Oh. That's nuts. It's crazy. That's of the enemy. But you just let it go and let it go and let it go. So there's a real cancer there. Satan's scheme is to destroy us. And Jesus' scheme is that we have abundant life. Now, what is the cross life? Let's take a look at what the cross life really is. The cross life is always making sure that you confess your sin, that you admit what your sin is. You don't keep it quiet. Have a small group. Have another person. Have someone that you can say, I'm having difficulty in this area. Will you please pray for me? Would you check on me? Don't keep it quiet. In fact, Scripture says they confess their faults. Confess your faults one to another. Boy, you take a look in Nehemiah's day and in Ezra's day. They had whole days where they confessed their sins and wept and cried. This would be a different church if you have a day like that. Some of the old crusty stuff that we've buried, oh, it would be good to get out. It would be so wonderful. So the cross life is, I'm not going to hide who I am. I'm going to admit it's me, God, standing in need of prayer. Second thing is repentance from sin. We need to turn from that stuff. You can turn from it if you get someone to mentor you and check on you. Burn the bridge. Don't keep the bridge there to walk back over if you decide maybe you'll just go back and enjoy that a little bit. You have to hate it. Get God's viewpoint on that thing that you do all the time. God hates gossip. He hates a critical spirit. He hates bitterness. He hates anger that's untamed. In fact, it destroys whole families. And so that's part of the cross life, repentance from sin. We need to turn and go the other way. It's a pursuit of holiness, the desire that's in our hearts to know God and to press ourselves into Him so that we become shaped like Him. Oh, the pursuit of obedience, holiness. And holiness is a deep-rooted attitude and desire to be like the Lord, to be shaped like Jesus. It's obedience to God. It's missional. Cross life is missional. Going, not just going to church, ho-humming along, folks. There's a world out there. I have a sermon that I preach called Upset in Athens. And I preached it in Manitoulin Island in our church there, and Mary Hill, Bert and Mary Hill, wonderful folks. And Mary's a little stooped over, and after I finished preaching it, she got her finger up in my face, and she said to me, "Lloyd, you preached that in all of our churches." I think I preached it a dozen more times. And it's the premise is this. Paul went to Athens, Acts 17. He was upset because he saw all the idols. Our athletes went to Athens last summer, a year ago, and they got upset. Dear little girl from Pickering, Perdice, the Felicion girl, the hurdler. Oh, that was so sad. And our boatmen, the two-man guys, they lost by that far the first heat, 1/16 of a second. I mean, I can't hiccup that fast. And then I talked to the crowd, I talked to the congregation about, well, what upsets Canadians? Oh, you know, it's like waving a red flag. And it would be different in Alberta than it would be in Ontario, wouldn't it, Dave? And what upsets people around here? What upsets church people? Whoa, that's interesting. I hear those giggles, girls. And then I say to folks, you know, nobody said they're upset about their neighbors not knowing Jesus. That's what upset Paul in Acts 17. He went into Athens and said, whoa, nobody knows the true God here. In fact, he saw a monument, an idol, to the unknown God. And that was his takeoff on his sermon at the Areopagus, Mars Hill. And then the conclusion is this. What upsets us defines our core values. What upsets us is really an indication of our core values. So what upsets you? Here you're getting the mini sermon in this sermon. What upsets you? Money? Relationships? Music? Sex? Power? Job? Your wife? Your husband? And then the last point is, what we do about what upsets us really defines our folk religion. That's where we're really at with God. Cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. He cares for me. And so we need to obey God. Then we need to serve God, gifted by the Holy Spirit. That's the cross life. Secondly, faith is the currency of the cross life. Faith is the currency. Faith is Jesus is Lord. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are we saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anybody can boast. Would that Canada would know and believe that scripture. Go to a funeral, he was a good guy, God has to accept him. That's Canada's religion, you know. But faith is required, for by grace we live and serve and breathe. The idea that I can't save myself, I am desperate for transformation, I can't change, I need relationship with God through Christ above all else. But there's a cancer. And the cancer is, I just need to be religious. Notice this turns it right upside down from the faith life. I just have to go to church. I just go to church. It's perfunctory. I'm a good person. And I don't do this, 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 and therefore I'm okay. But God doesn't say that. That smacks of pride. I'm okay. I'm just going to turn over a new leaf. Yes, I've got that problem, but I think I can fix myself. Have you found that you can't fix yourself? And I have power to succeed. And a lot of people who really work hard at this, they're very fearful of being wrong. They never say they're wrong. They won't take responsibility, and they are controllers. That's the cancer against faith. And so let's draw to a close. What is the currency expressed by? It's expressed by love. John 21. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Well, Lord, you do. Okay, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? And he's saying to me this morning, Lloyd, do you love me? Okay, get going. Listen to me. What are you supposed to do in life? Where are you going? Why are you here? Aren't you here to bring me honor and glory? Are you doing that? Those are tough questions, folks. Feed my sheep. Jesus' words to Peter, when you repent. So he had some repenting to do. Well, we know that Peter had repenting to do. Where do you have to repent? Where do I have to repent? Lethargy? Not praying? Not hearing God? Areas of bitterness or concern? Who knows? God knows, though, this morning. And so Peter had to repent, but the neat thing is this. All of us this morning, as we turn around and go the other way, God says to us today, feed my sheep. That's great. I mean, I could tell you things about me that aren't nice. But Jesus says to me, Lloyd, repent, turn around, use the currency, get the cross life. That's a choice you can make. And then go and feed people. Go and serve. God has chosen to take people like us, and we're all the same. He's chosen us who have been lost and undone. If you're in that condition this morning, you know, the kingdom is only a breath away of saying, Lord, help me to be that kind of a person that Lloyd's talking about. I receive you. I invite you into my life to be Lord of my life. I will lay down my life for you then, like these kids are doing. Well, they're kids to me. They're young adults. And then God comes along and says, okay, now I've got something for you to do. Would you invite the neighbors who you've been friendly with to go with you to hear the Gaithers? It's going to cost you $60. Oh, no. The best $60 you'll spend, let me tell you. Pick up those kids and take them to youth group. Yeah, but they might have mud in their shoes. Nobody sits in my back seat of my Buick. Isn't that going to sound great when you stand before the Lord? Well, my car was clean. You know, that's a real example I'm using, folks. That's a real example. And so we need to make sure the currency is expressed by love. And Jesus commands us to go. Well, what's the cancer there? Self-effort? The cancer is self-effort, our own agenda, our own power and abilities. We take the credit expressed through control. Do you have planned in your mind what you're going to say to the clerk when she gives you too much change? That ever happened to you? You're supposed to get 10 back and she gives you 20? I know you tell her, but they always say something to you. Oh, isn't that nice? You're so honest. Thank you, I am honest. Wrong answer. I mean, what would you say if someone said that to you? Have you got worked out in your mind some of these one-liners that really work, that are hooks? I mean, you're supposed to give a cup of cold water, not in Lloyd's name, or your name. We're supposed to give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Well, don't you have to do that then? You gave back a cup of cold water, so what are you going to say? Hello? Are you there? What are you going to say? Okay, God. God led me to do that. He what?
Is he around? Okay. Can you make it more friendly? User-friendly? How can we make that user-friendly? Let me tell you what I say. I thought this out. I say to them, look it. I have to live with myself, my conscience. And I'm a Christian. Or I love God. And I have to live with Him. And I want to. Therefore, money's not worth it. That's what I've worked out to say. Interesting reaction when you do that. Bring God into it. Think what you're going to do. And then do it and see what happens. They're hooks to make friends with people in order to say, we're having an alpha class at our house. Would you come? I could tell you stories about alpha. We just finished an alpha course, our own personal one. We did it at the church 3-4 times. But our church people stopped inviting people. I think they only had 4 friends each, so they ran out of friends inviting them, so they quit. And see, a lot of Christians don't have non-Christian friends. I'm not being funny, but that's true. And so Marie and I said, we're going to do our own. So we invited our friend, who we met in West Hill. We led her to the Lord when we were church planting there, and he had never become a Christian. Still not, but he's our best friend. And so we said, we got to do Alpha to get Bob saved. And so we asked Bob, and he said, no. And so his son went to him and said, look, Dad, they're your best friends, and the least you can do is go and do it. And he said, yes. And so, but he said, if I do it, can I bring my other friend, Pat Dwyer? Pat's the vice president of BioVail. And he lives in Mississauga. So Sarnia, Mississauga, Plattsville. So Pat, and we said, sure, invite him. And so Pat and Brenda said, yeah, we'll do it. And so they came to Alpha too. But they said, now, we got friends in London. Could they come? I mean, could they come? You know, think we're going to say no. And so we said, well, sure, they can come. And so Sarnia, Mississauga, London, Plattsville. Well, Plattsville is the center of the universe, I guess. So they came to our house at first, and we started in the Alpha. We had another couple from Bright's Grove, friends of ours. He said, yeah, they said yes. But after the first video, he said, I don't have a God-shaped vacuum in me. Bob said, our best friend said, I don't either. And Pat, who had 2 kinds of cancer, said, ha, I was worse than you guys, but now I hit the wall, and now I'm a seeker. Oh, man, he was preaching it better than I ever could. And then he said, see that BMW out in the driveway? I said, yeah. He said, I planned to get that thing for 3 years, and now it doesn't mean anything to me. Anyways, the couple from Bright's Grove didn't continue on, but the rest did. And the 2 guys who, you know, weren't Bob, the other 2 guys, they became believers. And Pat Dwyer has read the Bible through 3 or 4 times. He had all that time. He was on quite a regimen for his cancers. And now he's feeling good. And at the Holy Spirit weekend, we had a wonderful time. Just wonderful. And Bob let us pray for him that God would soften his heart and open up his mind. And they've been having devotions together, he and his wife, but he's still not a believer. But now, that group wants to go on and keep meeting. It's just like saying Sikkim to us. Really. And God can use you with your neighbor and your friends and your acquaintances, whatever, to broaden this church and bring in new people. So we don't have to have those things bothering us. What's the conclusion? You have to decide to die to live. That's the paradox of the cross. That's the paradox of Christianity. The gospel, the good news, is you can die. But if you die, you'll live. Use kingdom currency. Decide to use faith and love. And that you're not the big picture. God is. We're the little pictures. You can live in color. That's one of the themes for EBC this year. You can live in color, not monotone, not ho-hum. I'll tell you, get witnessing to your neighbors and sharing with your neighbors and doing things with people outside the church, life really gets exciting. And then, if we'll do that, we can risk all. We can allow Christ to rule. We can be Holy Spirit directed and let God control the outcome. So, what is that to you? Jesus said, you follow me. And will we?
So we want to go away this morning from this time determined to do what God wants us to do. So what about the rest? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we're all so much like Peter. We mess up, then we fess up, and then we mess up again. And you're saying to all of us this morning, so what? What's that to you? You follow me. Now, we've been used to singing all those songs, I'll go with him through the judgment, I'll go with him through the garden. And Lord, we're not used to going with you next door. Help us this morning, Lord, to hear you and say, Lord, you've asked me to follow you, and you being my empower and helper, I'm going to. Lord, may this be true in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen. The church has crucified risk and danger and cause-centered living and traded it for Ned Flanders, a nice, moral, safe, harmless, religious person. No one is looking for that out there. They're looking for people who will take risks. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for that challenge. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's only Son. Let's stand.
Pray with anyone who wants prayer at the conclusion of the service. Just come and meet us here, pastor and anyone else who loves to pray, you can come to. You have a need, this is the place. I mean, here we are, God's here, and we just love to pray with you. Bless you.
Table in the foyer. Please visit that as you leave this morning. Thank you to Emmanuel Bible College to be here. And we welcome you to come to the place of prayer. Our prayer team will come forward as well. And so feel free to take advantage of this opportunity to talk with the Lord and let him touch your heart and your spirit. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.